you and I, as we walk on this earth in the body that God has given us, we need to understand that it is the Spirit of God that keeps us going. You ever felt like you just didn't want to get up? I'm not talking to teenagers. I mean, you know, if you get up, you're going to have to get out into the world, and when you get out there, you're going to have to deal with it. Sometimes in life, we get to the point that we just don't want to deal with it anymore. At that point and at that time in our life is when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and says, don't you worry. You're not going to be there that long anyway. I'm coming to take you home. Think of it. 70, 80, 90, 100 years, that's nothing. Comparing it to eternity, what? Comparing it to any time period, it's nothing. But God says, you're something to me and you're somebody. And time with you is important to me. Now that's God saying that you're important to him. And your time on earth is important because you have a ministry, you have a mission. And he said, now I want you to trust me, and if you will trust me, trust my Spirit. If you'll wake up and trust me, I will make sure that whoever attempts to stand in your path will not stand. Now, you and I, being cocky human beings as we are, we don't want to bother God with so many things. Why do you hate to keep bothering God? Please, you're no bother. And please, bother him. Because your pastor does not have the answers. I can only direct you to the one who does. And God says, listen to me. I want you to truly understand how important you are to me and how much I love you. Now, where did God truly write his laws? On our heart. And when he sent Jesus, he said, now all of these commandments and all of these laws that I have given you, I want you to know now they are fulfilled. And I want you to keep one main law, Jesus says. Now this is the law that I command you to keep. Love. If you're going to love someone, you're not going to want to see any harm in them. You're not going to want to do harm to them. You're wanting the best for them. So Jesus said, I want you to love one another. Now, even I'm going to change something a little. He says, loving your neighbor as yourself is great. But Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you. I want you to love each other as I have loved you. Well, that's different. Because if I can only love my neighbor as myself, I don't get up every day really that pleased with me, much less loving me. And I know some of you all don't get up every time you meet me pleased with me. But I do know that you love me. So the Lord says, here's the key. I want you to know the second Adam. Now, I want you to live by the Spirit. What in the world does that mean? It won't mean anything to you until you have a spiritual awakening. Well, I don't know how to walk in the Spirit. That's why we talk to the Lord. He's the one that does the walking and talking if we'll shut up a while and listen to what he has to say. I need to become spiritually awake. And then I can walk in the Spirit with Christ. That means connecting with God. Knowing that the line is always open. Never busy. God says, I want you to pay attention. And I want you to personally know the second Adam. When a preacher is at a foreign doctrine, not hardly. Again, the preaching of the gospel means, for those of us who proclaim it, is you say what God says. Now, if you have a problem with it, then look it up in his book, bestseller. great seller, seldom read, but great seller. And he says, I want you to understand how much I love you. Preacher, you're talking about love a lot lately. I don't have to tell you about the hate part. We're already seeing that throughout the world. You need me to tell you about that? No. So God says, there's a difference between a living being. You and I, remember I told you, we're living beings when God created us. We became a living being. But then God breathed into us His Spirit. God made us alive in His Spirit. Now, but to the point that He gave us the freedom of choosing. You can either choose Him or not choose Him. You can either follow the Lord or not follow the Lord. He's not going to make you. You see, we have no record in Scripture to where any angel has a freedom of choice. We have Scripture that will let us know at some point, there's no such thing as time with God, at some point the angels got tad cocky with God and they lost. They lost. They lost the battle and were kicked out of heaven. But listen to me. I can't be kicked out of heaven. I'm there on the blood. You're there on the blood. And He says, I want you to pay attention between a living being and a life-giving spirit. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15:45 through 49. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, that's Jesus, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first. You'll go along with that, right? We deal with our human existence, our humanism. Did not come first, but the natural. It came first. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man from heaven. Jesus says, I'm going to go to my Father from whom I came. You're earthly. I am not earthly. So, I have in me, you have in you, Christ, our true life-giving spirit. The second Adam, second man was from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. Well, the earthly man died, goes back to the dust. This body is going to die. It's going back to the dust. But the Scripture says that my spirit, your spirit, who you are, will return to me because I gave it to you. You belong to me. You're the child of a king. And you're coming home. Don't have to worry about a parade because you're going to get the biggest light show you could ever imagine. You're coming home to the king. Because He is a life-giving spirit. The Spirit of Christ never is death. His Spirit is always life-giving. When you have the Spirit of Christ in you, then you will shine that light for others. You will turn on the light in a dark world. You will offer hope to those who see themselves hopeless. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. That's Christians. That means you and I get to go out like Jesus did. I like that. We're going out like Jesus did. Well, how do I know I'm going out like He is? Because He's coming back to make certain that I do. There's no such thing as power other than God, in the presence of God. And it was just like they were going, you know, put the seal on the tomb. And everyone knows you don't touch that seal or it's death. They didn't know God. And they didn't know the Father. So God the Father said, you got my boy in there. And God, raised His Son from the tomb. And it will be God that will make certain that you and I, we are not, let's get it straight. You're not going to go to a grave and sleep. Who could sleep with all those worms crawling in and out anyway like that? You're not going to do that. You're not there. But we were told by God, now you give that body back to the earth, because I'm going to make it anew one day. I'm coming back. Oh, he going to look good? Yes, he did. That's called love, folks. And God says, I'm all about love. Until somebody messes with one of my children. You do not mess with God's children. But I've seen so many of them leave this earth. What you didn't see is that was spiritual. For me to leave this body is the greatest blessing that I can ever, ever, ever receive. The greatest blessing that you, Christian, will ever receive. If you're not a Christian, you don't want to leave it that way. Because, and just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. Jesus was in his glorified body when he ascended into heaven. You know what was interesting about Jesus after the resurrection? A lot was. But something has always stuck with me. You would always see the mark, the holes in his hands, the hole in his side. It was there in a glorified body. Those were the marks of love, folks. And the marks of love will follow with you throughout eternity. Oh, I've done a lot of dumb things in my life. Mean, hateful, all of that. Yes, I have. I got news for you. None of that garbage makes it to heaven. Only my good parts. Woo! Isn't that great, ladies? Don't you wish that? Yes. It's only my good pictures that I ever want anybody to see. Men just don't care. But what we do care about is love and knowing that you were loved. Don't we understand that? When you're on your deathbed, not one of those loved ones standing around you, not a one of them can take your place. No, they can't. Every parent will want to, but you can't. Because you see, that spirit and that pain that God is looking at in that spirit belongs to Him. And at some point, at His time, He will say, that's enough to pain. That's enough to brokenness. Now, listen, folks. If I thought for one second that when you die, that's it, there's no hope, why would I preach? Why would I do any of this? Why would I love? Why not just go out and do my thing? I don't even know what that is. Why not just, you know, let life? Well, you know, I just want to feel good in life. Well, life doesn't feel good all the time, people. Matter of fact, most of the time, it doesn't feel good. But I can tell you this, that life God has given you matters to the people beside you. You're important to them. And God will allow you to bless their life. But at some point, when God says that's enough pain of the body, because He says, I've given you an appointment. It is appointed for you to die once. I will die once. But the Scripture speaks of a second death. I'll never see that when I know Jesus. Second death's the death you don't want any part of. Many people say, I wonder if we get to witness watching that. I don't want to witness. We may. But I'm not looking forward to it. To watch anyone that is cast away, locked in a human body. That's right. During that resurrection, locked in a human body, wanting to die but can never die. So every thought, every misdeed, every pain will continue throughout eternity. I've said many times that a point in my ministry to where God touched me with that blessing of the love, that I just wished that I could go to preach to the devil and give him a shot. And then the Lord smacked me around a little bit to get me to read his word. He did that. His name was Judas Iscariot. He gave him every opportunity there was. So now, Larry, you get about the business I've called you. I'll take care of Satan. Already have. But you do it in love. You correct someone, you correct them because you love them. When they're in that ditch, you better get down there in that ditch and you better hug them and love them and help them out. You do all you can. That's love. That's living in the Spirit. That's taking on the second Adam. That spiritual being that says, death, you have no control over me. Well, bring about whatever you will, because your worst cannot affect me. If you can put me out of the ministry, I was never called to it. But be careful, because I know the one who called me, and he don't mess around. He loves me. He loves you, Webster. Loves you, Randy. Loves you, Paula. Oh, yes, Olivia, he loves you too, honey. Because God watches each individual. And he says, there's where you need to understand. You're physical, but the second Adam made you spiritual. Now, I'm going to remind you of this again. You and I, born of a woman and a father, earthly, you and I are going to leave this earth spiritually. And Christ is coming back. Now this is exciting. Church, we are the first resurrection after Christ. It's the church age. Even the Old Testament prophets got to wait that 1,000 years. Not us. Second coming of Christ. Woo! Brother Randy, shouting time. Oh, Randy will be shouting and dancing. All his friend, the pastor, will be saying, Randy, please don't do that. You and I are family, but we're family with love. Salvation is only in believing the life-giving Spirit. Now, here's what Jesus said, John 8, 23 and 24. You are from below. Speaking about humans, you got it? I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you. Now listen to what he says. He's trying to warn the Pharisees and all of them. Man, were they hard-headed. You know what made them so hard-headed? They were too educated. They got so educated they were just downright foolish. They thought that they knew it all. And knew nothing. And here he said, I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe, now listen, that I am. Whoa, you remember that I am part? Moses said, Lord, who do I say sent me? Tell him I am sent you. Reading the New Testament, you will see Jesus referring to himself as I am. For the great I am came to walk and to live among us. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. Remember when your pastor always says, you know, when we're dealing with salvation, what got me saved? Jesus. I believe he is exactly who he says he is. And after following him, there is not a doubt in my mind that Jesus is not exactly who he says he is. But here's something you and I need to write down in our little books. They might be mental, or they might be on that cell phone. I don't care. But I want you to write down, if God loves me, who has any authority over me other than He. You see, that's got to be a part of who I am, of knowing. But if God loves me, through all my mess ups, through all my mistakes, through all of my foolish activity that I did on purpose. Well, yeah, but Brother Larry, you never did anything wrong after you got saved. Oh my goodness, that is such a lie. You mean you sinned after you got saved? Jesus says, he who says he is without sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. Is present tense, people. Is present tense. I'm in a fallen nature. This human body has fallen. My human nature is fallen. Think about this. I want you to think about your most favorite sin. Now, preacher, that's right. Do you realize that every human being has a favorite sin? And we spend a whole lifetime trying to fight it, trying to win over it as a Christian. And every time we think, I got this kicked, Satan uses it to come right back on you. And before you know it, without that spiritual connection, without us having that spiritual condemnation of love, we're going to fall to it again. Now, jokingly, I always tell you all about my love of cigars, but I don't smoke them. But I love them. And it's tempting sometimes when I smell them. And it's not nice to go over to someone, man or woman, smoking a cigar and yank that cigar out of their mouth. But you see, I want you to pay attention to this fact. That's the human part of us. And then you be like your pastor and you know good and well you don't have any business getting close. And you start sort of sliding over towards it, trying to convince God that you're going over there to witness to this guy when he knows all you want to do is smell that cigar. You hear me? Now, if you're not with a cigar ready. But that's called the human heart, the humanness of each one of us. And Christ says, when you become spiritually awake, you will cry unto me. And when that sin comes, I want you to do this. I want you to turn and I want you to run. All right. Isn't that brave? That spirit. Do you know what it takes to run? Think of it. I felt sorry for so many wealthy people. And I feel sorry for them. Many of them know Christ, but many that do not. I'd give anything I have to have what you have, they say. No, you won't. I gave Jesus my heart. All the rest of it was His to begin with. I had the freedom of choice to either hold on to my own being or to come alive spiritually. Wake up. Wake up, Christian, to the power that Christ has given us. He said the second Adam has come, the beginning of the end of the age, Christ born in Bethlehem. And He says, I'll give you some signs to let you know about when I'm coming back. Nobody knows the time and the date and time. Nobody but God. But He says, I'll let you know the season. Well, when did the season begin? At the birth of Christ. He ushered in the beginning of the end of the age. And Jesus is going to usher us out of here. He's coming back. He tells His disciples, 3 days, I'll be in the tomb. They're looking at each other like, has He lost it or have we? And on that third day, not a second sooner, not a second later, at the appointed time by God the Father, He opened that tomb and Jesus, the Son of God, came alive in the full glory and magnitude of God the Father. He came alive and He says, whoever believes in me, What you have seen me do, you can do. Then he says, as a matter of fact, you can do even more. Because I'm going to go to my Father. I have to go. If I don't go, the Comforter won't come. But I'm going, and I'm going to send to you the Comforter, Holy Spirit. And my Comforter is going to make me and you together forever. Where Jesus goes, I go. But the thing that makes me nervous is I also know that wherever I go, Jesus goes. And so I got to watch myself and say, where are you going? Do you think Jesus is going to be happy with you? Well, I got news for you. Jesus is going to be happy with me, period. In the ditch of life, he's going to be happy with me. He's my child. I'm his child. I'm his child. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Randy, it don't get better than that. What a blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. Father, we thank you for the patience you have with us. We praise your name, dear Heavenly Father, that it is through your love that we see hope. It is through the gifts that you give us that we can express your hope to the lost and dying world. Direct us now as we follow your path in all that we do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.